The following is a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. At Haven Heights, we believe that faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. As you listen to this sermon, we pray the Lord would use the preaching of his word to point you to Jesus and to strengthen your faith in him. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook. So what does it mean to use our talent for the Lord? Well, your talents and your abilities are a major part of your life. Even now in this moment, every one of you is using your intellectual talent, your ability to comprehend this sermon, to make connections in your head, to take notes, to then apply it later. We use our talent and our ability all the time in everything we do. You know, if you have a full-time job, you're working 40 hours a week or more. And what are you doing? You're using your talent. And so this is a major aspect of our lives. Even at home, you're applying your talent and your abilities to love your spouse, to love your kids, to cook meals, to do all things. So what does it mean to serve the Lord with our talent? We'll see three things in this parable. The first thing we'll see is that God distributes talent to us. He is the giver of our talents and our abilities. So he distributes it. The second thing we'll see is that God has expectations for how we are to use our talents. Finally, we will see that there are consequences for how we use our talents. There are consequences for using them well to serve the Lord, and there are consequences for using them poorly to not serve the Lord. So those are our three points. God distributes our talent to us. He has expectations for our talent. And then there are consequences for the way we use our talent. And taken all together, what I want us to see in the end is that citizens of God's kingdom are to serve the kingdom. That's the main point we'll be making this morning. So as we said, our first point is that God distributes talent to us. So all that we have belongs to the Lord. You see that right away in verse 14. Jesus tells this parable about the kingdom of God. He says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants, and he entrusted his wealth to them. Well, to whom does the wealth belong? Not to the servants, it's to the masters. So all that we have belongs to the Lord. Everything that you have belongs to the Lord. And this could really summarize our whole sermon series. Your time, your money, your body, and yes, your talent all belong to the Lord. He merely entrusts it to us. We are stewards, not owners, of everything that we have. And so as it pertains to our talent, this means that there is absolutely no ground for boasting in ourselves, no matter how talented we are at anything. God despises pride. He hates boasting. He abhors arrogance. Why? Because pride and boasting and arrogance are diametrically opposed to who God is and to who he has made us to be. We are his creatures. He is our creator. He made us. He owns everything. He entrusted everything to us. And when we are prideful or boastful or arrogant, we reverse that. We think we are the owners. To us belongs everything. To us belongs our talent. And we're all prone to this. We are all prone to pride and boasting and arrogance, whether we are athletes or musicians or engineers or stay-at-home moms. We are all prone to arrogance and boasting, to thinking that we are the best, that our talent is ours. But Jesus tells us here it belongs to the Lord, to our master. He merely entrusts it to us. So there is no ground for boasting about our talent. Now you might say, sure, the Lord gave me this natural ability. I'm naturally good at this. I acknowledge that's from the Lord. But look what I did. Look how hard I worked. Look at my work ethic to make the most of this. See, I have done this. And that may be true. You may have worked hard to maximize your talent. You may have a great work ethic. You may have a better work ethic than all those other people. But where did your work ethic come from? Who gave that to you? It's the Lord. He owns it all. And so what this means for us is that we are to use our talent in a way that honors the Lord. He owns it all and he entrusts it to us. Okay, that's the first thing you see in verse 14. Now you see in verse 15 that there are different levels of talent. So look at verse 15. He says, to one servant, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag. Well, why does he give them different amounts of gold? Well, it says each according to his ability. Right, the Bible is very honest. There are different levels of ability, different levels of talent. Not everybody has the same talents or abilities, and not everybody has the same level of talent or ability. Some people are more talented than others. Now, the New Testament talks about this in a few other places. So Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 compares the church to a body. And it says that the church is one body with many parts. And because of that, you know, the ear cannot say to the toe or despise the toe because it's not an ear. You silly toe, I can't believe you can't hear like I can hear. Well, that's foolish. Why? Because a toe is a toe. A toe does what a toe does, and an ear does what an ear does. There are different talents, different abilities, different gifts. And so there is no room for looking down upon others for having different talents or having less talent. Okay, so our talent belongs to the Lord. There are different levels of talent. And then finally, we see in verses 14 and 15 that the Lord entrusts resources to us based upon our level of talent. Right? He gives the guy with more talent, more ability, 5 bags of gold, the one he gives 2, and the one he gives 1. He entrusts us according to our talent. And for us, what this means is that serving the Lord with our talents is going to look different. It means that faithfulness will not be determined by just sheer output or just the amount of fruit that we are able to produce with our talent. Faithfulness is proportional to the ability that you have. Do you see that in the passage there? God gives the one guy 5, he gives the other guy 2, and he gives the other guy 1. No one's better or worse. The Lord gave more talent to this guy, more ability, so he has more responsibility. The expectation for him to be fruitful is that he will take what he has and he will produce more. And so it is with us. And this should be a great encouragement to us. Some of us may be extremely talented at you name it. Others of us might be the one talent guy here, and that's okay. Your faithfulness is not determined by your talent level, but by how you use the talent the Lord has given you. So we have 3 rhubarb plants at our house that we inherited when he bought the house. They were just there. And 2 of the 3 plants are just incredible. We cut them down in the fall, and then in the spring, we always wonder, are they going to come back up? Are they going to, you know, bear fruit? I understand rhubarb's not a fruit, but just go with it. Are they going to bear fruit? And sure enough, they start sprouting. And by now, if you look at them, 2 of the 3 are just huge. The leaves are huge. The stalks are huge. We have an excess of rhubarb. If you ever need rhubarb, check with us. We might have some for you. And so they just keep producing all summer long. 2 of the 3 plants do. The 3rd plant, let's just say it's more of a one talent plant. It produces, it bears fruit. We might get a few stalks from it over the course of the whole summer. Why? I don't know. Perhaps it's younger. Whatever the reason, it just isn't as talented as the other 2. But we haven't chopped it up or dug it up yet. Why? Because it's fruitful. It is using what it has to bear fruit. And so it is with us and our talents. Your faithfulness is not determined by how much fruit you produce compared to the next guy, but are you being fruitful with the talent that you have? And so one point of application here, I speak to you graduates in particular, but to all of us here, do not play the comparison game. Do not look at that guy next to you in class in the same major and think, that guy is so talented. If only I could be that talented, then I could really serve the Lord with my ability. Do not look at your coworker and think, if I was just as smart as him, or just as good as she was at that, then I could really be fruitful in serving the Lord. Do not play the comparison game. The Lord has given to you your talents, your abilities. He has called you to faithfulness with what he has given you. So the Lord distributes our talents to us. There are different levels of talents, different kinds of abilities. The Lord entrusts us according to our talents. Well, then what does he expect us to do with them? What is actually the expectation after he distributes those to us? This brings us to our second point. This is verses 16 through 18. Now, it never says explicitly here what the Lord's expectation is. The master never looks at his servants and says, now here is exactly what I want you to do with this. But we know what the expectation is based on how the servants respond. Look at verse 16. The master gives them their bags of gold. In verse 16, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the man with 2 bags of gold gains 2 more. Right? They understood the assignment. There was an expectation and they understood it. What was that expectation? The unwritten expectation here was that the servants would take the Lord's gift that he entrusted to them to steward, and that they would multiply it, that they would expand it, that they wouldn't just sit idly with it or squander it. There are not specific directions from the Lord. Moreover, it doesn't even tell us exactly how these guys multiplied it. Look at verse 17, the second man in particular. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. We don't know how, but he understood the assignment and he went and he multiplied it. And so it is with us. So often, especially you young people, you graduates here, you fret and you worry over what is the Lord's will for my life? What am I supposed to be doing? To what is the Lord calling me? I want to serve him, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Help me. And we get stuck in this. And I think this is instructive for us here. The Lord doesn't give them specific directions. He just says, take what I give you and use it and expand it. Use it to serve the kingdom. And so for you, if you are wondering, what am I supposed to do with my life? How am I supposed to serve the Lord? Yes, there may be a specific way that the Lord has given you to do that. But do not fret over that. Serve the Lord where you are. Make it your aim to please him in all things. Use your talent, your ability, wherever you are, in your class, in your current job, to serve him, and he will make that clear. So the Lord expects us to take what he's given us, to take our talent and to expand it, to multiply it for his glory, for the good of the kingdom. What he does not want us to do, he does not want us to go bury it in the sand. That's what the third servant does, right? And he's chastised at the end for it. God does not want to squash your talent. So we like to do this thing here in Northwest Ohio. Maybe it's more than Northwest Ohio, but this is where I lived most of my life, so I see it here. But we do this thing where someone compliments you and tells you, you are so gifted at this. You're so good at it. And what do we like to do? Oh, yeah, it's no big deal. Like, I'm really not. Don't worry about it. No, don't. And we deflect the praise. And the heart behind that is good, right? We're trying to be humble. We don't want to be boastful and arrogant, which is a good and admirable thing. But really, what are we doing? We're trying to squash our talent. I'm not actually that talented. But in the process, what are we failing to do? We're failing to actually give God the glory for the talent he's given us. God wants us. He's the one who has given us the talent. They belong to him, right? We just saw that. We are to steward them and multiply them. Rather than just deflecting it away from us and squashing it, I'm not actually that talented. We should be deflecting that to the Lord, saying, praise God. It all belongs to him. I have nothing apart from him. The only reason I'm good at anything at all is because the Lord has given me the ability to do it and the work ethic to get better at it. So praise the Lord. Right? This should be very freeing for you. Whatever you're good at, whether you're an adult or a young person, what are you good at? What do you like to do? Take that and maximize it to the glory of God and for your everlasting joy. God does not want us to take our talent and just bury it in the sand and do nothing with it. He's given us this talent so that we might use it to serve him, to multiply it to the glory of his name, so that his glory would cover the earth as the waters cover the ocean. And so what are you good at? What do you like doing? Where has the Lord given you ability to serve him right now in your life? And to that I would say, go after it. Pursue it. Maximize it. To the glory of God. Not to boast about yourself, but to boast in the cross of Christ. Is this how we use our talent? Is this how you think about your talent? Do you think of your talent as a way of making the name of God known? Or do you think of it just as a way of making your own name known? Do you remember what the people said as they built the Tower of Babel? These people, they congregate in the city and they say, let us build ourselves a city using their talent, using their ability, their minds, their skills. Let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Is that how you think of your talent? I'm going to do this so I can make a name for myself. So others will see me and think, boy, isn't he smart? Isn't he talented? Isn't he good at this? Isn't she just so amazing at this? There is a real temptation with every talent out there to use it to make a name for ourselves rather than to glorify the name of God. And every one of us has done that and has been tempted to do that because we are, by our very nature, glory thieves. We're glory thieves. We love glory for ourselves. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent tempted Eve by telling her what? That when she ate from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, she would become like God. Eve wanted that glory. She wanted to be like God. She wanted to elevate herself to the place of God. She wanted to make a name for herself. And that sinful desire has been passed down from Adam and Eve to every single one of us. And so that we are all born with hearts that are bent towards worshiping ourselves. And we are all, by our very nature, glory thieves. We want to make names for ourselves. We want to be great so that others will see it and praise us. But when a person comes to faith in Christ, he flips that on its head. When we believe in Jesus, we trust in him by faith alone, he gives us a new heart and a new mind. He puts his spirit within us, and no longer do we seek to make a name for ourselves, but we seek to make the name of the Lord great. Right, you saw this in our scripture reading today, Isaiah chapter 6. The prophet Isaiah is taken into the Lord's presence. He is confronted with the holiness of God. And what does he cry out? Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. He sees his sinfulness. He sees his wicked heart. And he says, woe is me. But then God graciously atones for his sin. He reaches out that coal, touches his lips, atones for his sin. And then God asks the question, who will go for us? And what does Isaiah say? Here am I. Send me. He is living for God's glory now. That is the heart desire of every person who has been transformed by the grace of God in Jesus. Lord, here I am. Send me. My talent is yours. Use it for what you will. Wherever, whenever, however, I belong to you. Use it for what you will. So our talent belongs to the Lord. He distributes it to us. His expectation is that we would use it and multiply it for his glory. And now let's look at the end of this parable to see what the consequences are for those who use their talent properly and for those who don't. So the first thing we see at the end of this parable here is that those who live up to the Lord's expectation, those who use their talent to serve the Lord and multiply it, are rewarded and they're entrusted with more and greater work. All right, what happens when the first servant and the second servant come to the Lord? They say, Lord, you gave me this much. You gave me the 5 bags of gold. I took it and I made 5 more. Here it is. It's yours. I made it for you. The second servant does the same. And what does the master say to both of them? Well done, good and faithful servant. And then he welcomes them into his happiness, his everlasting joy. I don't know that I can think of anything more encouraging than hearing those words from our Lord. We all love an encouraging word, don't we? Don't you? You go to work and how often do you just wonder, what does my boss actually think? Like, am I doing a good job? Does he approve of what I'm doing? And don't you just love to hear a genuine, well done. You're doing it right. You're doing a good job. And Jesus tells us that at the end of time, when our work will be laid bare before him and he will see it for what it is, that for those who seek to serve him with their talent and to multiply it for his glory, he will look upon you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. I entrust you with this. You used it well. I will entrust you with more and enter into my everlasting joy. Let that fuel you as you go to work this week, as you go to class this week, as you start college next year. Colossians 3:23 says, work heartily as though for the Lord and not for man. Your boss on earth may never say, well done, good and faithful employee. But if you are working for the Lord, you will one day hear, good and faithful, well done, good and faithful servant. And it is for his approval that we work and use our talent. So those who use their talent according to the Lord's expectations, those who use it to serve him and multiply it, will be rewarded. They will enter into the master's joy for all eternity. But those who fail to grow what the Lord has given will lose it all and will be sent to everlasting ruin. You see that with a third servant here in the parable. Look at verses 29 through 30. Actually, look at verse 26 first. The third servant comes and says, Lord, I didn't do anything with it. I was scared. Whether this guy was lazy or what his motivation was, we don't know, but he didn't do anything with what the Lord entrusted. He took it, buried it in the sand so that the Lord comes back and he says, here it is. This is what you gave me. Nothing more. In verse 26, the master replies, you wicked, lazy servant. And then verse 30, it says, that person, that servant will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, at this point, we have to be careful to not soften what the text says. The point Jesus is making is this, is that the person who does not use his talent or anything entrusted from the Lord correctly to serve the Lord and to multiply it will be sent to everlasting ruin in hell. 6 times in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus uses that phrase, weeping and gnashing of teeth, and each time he is referring to hell. I said, don't miss this. Serving the Lord with all of your life, including your talent, is not an optional add-on to the Christian life. It's not for just the super spiritual or kind of that higher class of Christians. It is the requirement for all people as creatures to render to our Creator obedience and submission and service. This is not work salvation, okay, lest we be confused. This is not Jesus saying, if you just work hard enough and do it good enough for me, then you'll be able to enter heaven. You have to earn your way in. That's not what Jesus is saying here. What it is saying is that if you truly know Jesus, there will be evidence in your life. And one key evidence in your life is that you will actually try to use your resources to serve him and to expand his kingdom. To say it another way, this was the main point of the sermon. If you've been made a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, then you will be a servant of the kingdom of heaven. All citizens of the kingdom serve the kingdom. That's the point Jesus is making here. And at the end of days, when all of our work, all of your stewardship of all the resources the Lord has given you will be laid bare, what will he see? If you have done work for the kingdom to serve the Lord, he will see that's a citizen of my kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant. And if he sees when he comes back that, well, this person didn't do anything for the kingdom, he will see that person is not a citizen of the kingdom. And he will be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because Jesus didn't come and die and rise again to redeem us so that we could just believe in him and then be saved and then just sit idly by with our feet up until he comes back again. Jesus came and died and rose again to create a people who are zealous for good works. A people who are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, set apart before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. And at the end of days, if Jesus comes back and sees there were no good works there, that guy didn't live for me. She didn't seek to submit all of her resources and her talent and her money and all her life to me. He will see that is not one who was redeemed and born again. To go back to Isaiah, the person who has experienced redemption through Jesus has one response, and it's the response of Isaiah. Hear my Lord, send me. If you are not genuinely seeking to use your talent to serve Jesus and to advance his kingdom, then you don't really know Jesus, and you have not experienced his saving grace. You are still in your sins. You are still serving yourself. You are still trying to make your name great, and you are going to end up with the worthless servant cast out into the outer darkness unless you turn from your sin and follow Jesus. That is the truth Jesus tells us here in this parable. You've been listening to a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook.